From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. A Master of Business Administration is the graduate degree of leaders. An MBA program can be an incubator for acquiring the business and leadership skills you may never gain otherwise. And the best thing is, you don't need to take 2 years off of your game to earn one. The University of Utah David Eccles School of Business MBA online program is an internationally accredited online MBA that ranks top 10 in the U.S., but costs 30% less than other comparably ranked programs. Utah's MBA online features cutting-edge on-demand curriculum and weekly live web conferencing led by world-renowned faculty thought leaders. Learn with other experienced high-level professionals, executives, and entrepreneurs from around the world and complete your MBA online anytime, anywhere, in as little as 24 months. To learn more and receive a University of Utah MBA online application fee waiver, visit utahmbaonline.com. Again, utahmbaonline.com. Sometimes you build a company and it is successful. And sometimes you build a company and it is not. But occasionally, and actually I hear a version of this story more often than you might expect, there's an interesting middle ground here. Someone builds a company and it doesn't work, but something inside of that company does actually work. It could be an idea or a little piece of technology or a consumer insight or something that just seems right. And it becomes the seed of a new, better, stronger, lasting company. That's what we're going to talk about this episode, because that's what happened to Andrew Mason. Now, Andrew's got an interesting backstory, including being the founder of Groupon, which itself was born out of a failed startup, but we can get into all that later. For now, what you need to know is that a few years ago, after being fired from Groupon, Andrew was struggling to build a company he'd founded called Detour. Its mission was to revolutionize the audio tour industry. You know, like when you travel somewhere, like a museum or a landmark or whatever, and you listen to an audio tour that directs you around the space, that stuff. But the deeper he got into it, the harder he realized that market actually was.
We're already dealing in a category that has stigmas associated with it. And then we're saying, hey, we have a better version of this. But in order to even experience it in any form, you need to go travel across town and have a 2 hour long experience. And so how do you crack that nut?
He spent a lot of time laboring over it, like years and a lot of money. And as things weren't working out with Detour, his team started to think more and more about this little bit of technology that they developed inside of Detour. It wasn't really central to the business. It was something else, something technical, just a bit of software they'd built to help Detour run better. But they also came to think of it as the beginning of a business all its own.
I think we saw very quickly that it was a potential backup plan. So it was a kind of insurance policy that we knew that if Detour didn't work out, we had this ace in our pocket that we would be able to play.
That little thing would indeed eventually become Andrew's new company. It's called Descript, and in a nice little moment of meta, it's the software I happen to use to produce all of my podcasts. This episode you're listening to right now, I used Descript to help assemble it. I mean, I'm literally making an episode about Descript using Descript, and I have to say, I'm very happy to do so because this program was a game changer for me in the podcasting space, and nobody is paying me to say that, let me be clear. This is not an ad. I was just an early adopter for the software, and now I tell everyone I'm podcasting about it, and I am not the only one to believe in it. It is early days, to be sure, and Descript doesn't share user or revenue numbers, but it has already raised $5 million in investment money and is praised pretty much everywhere I look.
Yeah, it's been a lot smoother than anything we did with Detour. We're having really nice, steady growth and adoption.
So, how do you take the one good part of a bad company and use it to build a great company? We'll get into it all right after the break. FedEx delivers millions of packages around the world. But for FedEx, it's not just about packages or pallets. It's about what those deliveries mean for people. Whether it's rekindling a long-lost connection between old friends, a new business opportunity, or providing much-needed hope after a natural disaster in the form of relief supplies, FedEx delivers more than just packages. FedEx delivers possibilities. Find out more at fedex.com/possibilities.
And now our second sponsor.
You make a great product, but how do you make sure it arrives at your customer's door? That's what Rakuten Super Logistics is for. The company works with clients to ensure that their goods arrive at their destination within 2 business days and in perfect condition and with guaranteed accuracy, thanks to its network of nationwide fulfillment center locations and all-in-one international freight solutions. And Rakuten Super Logistics will easily integrate into your existing platforms like your order management system. For more details and to take advantage of a free shipping and fulfillment cost analysis, visit RakutenSL.com. That's RakutenSL.com and enter promo code entrepreneur. All right, we're back. So before we get into how Detour became Descript, let's talk about how The Point became Groupon. So back in 2007, Andrew was a young guy doing some contract database work, but had the idea for a company called The Point. It was, as he calls it, a collective action platform, essentially a tool for organizing activism.
So it was a way that anyone could start a campaign and say, I'll do something, but only if a critical mass of people do it with me. And it could have been just taking an action like boycotting a company, or it could have been giving money towards something or a group purchase.
There's something a little easily mockable about activism on The Point, right? Like, it's like, here's the platform for people who feel really strongly about something, so long as others are willing to do it too. And so, you know, The Point didn't catch on in all those intended ways. However, that last thing Andrew said did have some traction. People putting in money for group purchases. Now, there's an idea addressing a real economic pain point, right? Stuff is cheaper if you can buy it in bulk, but there had been no real way for individuals to come together and make a group purchase. Maybe The Point could do that.
And then we said, kind of, let's focus in and just do group purchases on local businesses, and we'll go out and procure the deals and just email them out to customers. And that's how Groupon came about.
So from the very beginning of his startup career, Andrew had learned this important lesson about starting a company. Sometimes the 1% of your business can actually become the whole business. Now, to speed very quickly through Groupon, Andrew was the CEO, built it up, turned down a reportedly multi-billion-dollar acquisition bid from Google, took it public in 2011, saw revenue fall sharply, and was fired in 2013. Then the question was, what's next?
About 5 years ago, after I had left Groupon, I was thinking about what to do next. And something that I had always wanted to do was build kind of a layer of an augmented reality layer of audio that kind of lived on top of the real world. And ended up starting a company called Detour that did these immersive, location-based, reactive tours of cities where you would get led by somebody who has a unique relationship with that place, and he or she would take you on a 45-minute walking tour.
This seemed kind of random to everyone. The technology site The Verge announced the launch of Detour by quoting Monty Python, and now for something completely different. But the reporter was genuinely impressed with this beta product they were trying to out, and it was a walking tour of San Francisco, and the product was, at its heart, kind of like a podcast, but a podcast that's designed to be listened to at a very particular place and would guide you physically around and really immerse you in that space. Also, Detour had an app, and you could use that app to sync the audio with other people so you and friends could walk around and be assured that you were hearing the same thing at the same exact time. Anyway, Andrew had made a nice amount of money from Groupon, so was in the fortunate position of being able to fund Detour himself. And that also meant he could indulge in building out its technology. There was the app, of course, and all that it entailed, but also, as the Detour team was putting together its audio guides, they were struggling with what had always been a problem in the audio editing world.
The tools, all the tools for editing audio are really designed for music, not for voice. And it's tedious, there's a high learning curve. And you're always in your kind of engineering or technical brain and not in your editorial brain where you want to live when you're editing narrative.
Can I just say, by the way, hell yes. As a guy who started making podcasts with absolutely no technical background, I found the audio editing software stuff to be so much more complex than necessary. So anyway, Andrew and his team figure that they can build something for themselves that'll just make editing these audio guides way, way easier.
We thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if someone leveraged this incredible progress that's been happening in automatic speech recognition in order to build an audio editor that worked just like a word processor, where you would just see the words, and when you edited the words, it would also edit the text.
So they start building it. And again, they're seeing this project as just part of building Detour. It's proprietary technology that helps them make better audio walking tours, basically. But I asked Andrew, why go down the rabbit hole here at all? Like, his team could have just used existing audio editing equipment. There's plenty of it out there. And yeah, maybe it's not perfect, but if you use it, then you don't have to spend all this time and money making your own. And Andrew said, sure, yeah, that's true. And if he wasn't self-funding the company and he had investors breathing down his neck saying, why are you spending money this way? Maybe he wouldn't have invested in it. But he said that it comes down to a couple practical considerations. One, his engineers were passionate about the project, making this new editing software. And two, it never hurts to develop a backup plan. Like, you know, this is really a kind of perfect startup insurance policy because you never know what's going to happen with your company. And really, it is a perfect plan because here Andrew's team would be developing something that's good for their current company while at the same time creating something that could be its own company if it needed to be. But make no mistake here, Andrew really did want Detour to work. He believed in the business, even though he was seeing all the reasons why it might not work. I mean, it's a tough category. It's seasonal. It's really limited in who's going to access it. It's not clear that there's even a paying marketplace for it. I mean, nobody's tried. And yet, despite all this, Andrew says that he just kept banging away at it. He'd ignore signs that the company might not work or that the marketplace might not be what he imagined it would be. He'd spend years on this. And this is where his strong finances actually, it seemed, worked against him because he was funding the company himself. He had nobody banging on his door saying, hey, why is this thing not working yet? Where's the growth? Growth, growth, growth. And it's ironic because at the time, Andrew was a part-time partner at Y Combinator advising companies, and he was telling them to do the exact opposite thing that he was doing. He was saying, move fast, don't dawdle. Because as Andrew remembers it, that was the Y Combinator way.
It may have changed. I don't want to talk out of school, but like my understanding of the Y Combinator model has always been you show up, you have 90 days to build something, and then it's demo day, and you want to show up at demo day with a nice kind of curve showing a graph that shows exponential growth. And if you're halfway through your time at Y Combinator and you're not on the path for that growth, then it's like, okay, change something about the business. You know, figure out, that's the outcome that we're optimizing for. Figure out how to get there. Even if it means moving to a completely different idea or something that's not what you thought you were going to be doing when you got in here. And that's a good, I think, forcing function for making really difficult decisions that most of the time end up being the right one.
But nope, not what Andrew was doing at Detour. He was just letting it ride, sticking with the plan, even though the plan wasn't working. Detour had launched in 2014, and by the fall of 2016, they weren't ready to give up yet. And yeah, maybe you could fault Andrew for that, or say it didn't fit the Y Combinator model, but for what it's worth, I appreciate the position he was in. He wanted to check off every possible box, to say he'd tried every way of making this thing work before giving up on it. You know, people often ask me how to know if something is worth continuing to pursue. And the answer I give is that they need data. They need something to show them that, yes, people like this, and yes, it can grow, even if it's small data, even if it's not something that would wow an investor. Is it telling you that there's a genuine reason to continue? That's what you need. And sometimes, frankly, it can take a while to really see that through. But in the fall of 2016, Andrew was ready for his final data set. He decides that the company will make a big international push and see if it can get into a bunch of popular tourism markets. And if they don't see signs of a product market fit there by the summer of 2017, then that'll be it. And sure enough, by the summer of 2017, that was it. Detour just wasn't going to make it. Was Andrew dejected? Honestly, not in the way he tells it. First, because Detour was a really educational experience for him.
My experience with Detour gave me a healthy appreciation for the importance of kind of the mechanics, the inherent mechanics of different businesses. And Detour just had awful mechanics. Groupon had really interesting mechanics, like the idea that the entire website would turn over every single day. It was so operationally intensive, and like if people just didn't come to work, there would be nothing to go up the next day. Like we completely turned over the inventory every day, and it was this really intense, always on energy about the place. Detour, I remember thinking when we started the business that that producing a tour, we'd be able to get it down to about a week. And I mean, we never really got it down below the point of 3 months to produce a tour. And that was that, even that was incredibly time, like difficult to do while maintaining quality.
All of this makes him think, what business can I do next that has significantly better inherent mechanics? What business just works? You know, that doesn't have immense challenges of the basic operation baked into the concept. And he knows the answer. It's that software they were developing, the stuff that would enable them to edit audio like it was a word processor. Throughout the development of Detour, he'd shown that software around in the industry, and people were like, yeah, whoa, I want something like that. Andrew instantly saw product market fit. And also, for that matter, better inherent mechanics. For example, customers can use it wherever they want, you know, which was not the case for Detour.
They don't have to like leave the house in order to use it. It's also great to be working on a product, like a tool that's just doing a better job at solving a problem that people already know they have, instead of inventing a new thing.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonfeifer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Feifer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonfeifer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.